If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the rules of taqlid or following a religious scholar, a jurisprudential scholar, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawhid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the rules of taqlid based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Tawhid, a follower of a marja, sees that there is another marja who is recognized to be the most learned. What's his duty?
Well, the obligatory precaution in this case is to shift from the marja who is currently being
followed
to the one who is supposed to be the most learned.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, with respect to issues in which their fatwas differ, you know, it's always a matter of it's agreed that in those matters which the two mujtahids have the same opinion, it does not make any difference as to which one he follows. But in the matters or in the issues in which the fatwas differ, the obligatory precaution is that he should shift, he should move from the marja, from the current marja to the one who is the most qualified mujtahid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sheikh Tawhid, when is it permissible for a follower to change his taqlid to another marja?
Well, according to precaution or ihtiyad, it's not permissible basically to change from a living marja to another living marja or another living mujtahid unless the second mujtahid is more learned and better qualified. Otherwise, there should not be any reason for changing. If the second mujtahid is better qualified, then of course the precaution is to move to that mujtahid and act according to his fatwa, especially in matters that the opinions of the second mujtahid differ with regards to the acts of worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how about the difficulty of some of the, for example, laws that are there and they are issued by, for example, their marja that they follow, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to follow them? Or they think that they are not, in accordance with the changing time.
Mm-hmm.
Does it actually make it a good excuse to change one's marja?
Well, this is not a justified or a reason for changing taqlid. The compatibility of the fatwa with the requirements of the present time is not actually a good reason to shift, and it's not permissible to change from the most learned mujtahid to another mujtahid simply because of the very speculation that his fatwas are not compatible or consistent with the contemporary, circumstances or the ongoing, developments or the changes that are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
So such an excuse is not, an excuse or, reason does not become a license for changing or shifting to another mujtahid.
Mm-hmm. I see. What is it meant by the blameworthy ignorant person?
Well, a blameworthy ignorant person, there's another word which I usually use, and that is culpable, duty-bound person,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Someone who is to blame for not acting according to the fatwa or not fulfilling his duty, such a person is will of course be punished in the hereafter because he is blameworthy, he is muqassir, and of course a muqassir, someone who is blameworthy, should actually jump into action and try to act according to the condition, according to the fatwas of his mujtahid, according to the religious instruction, and so on and so forth. He should seek knowledge, he should acquire wisdom, knowledge, information. He should improve his awareness. For example, if you have access to a scholar,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know how to pray, you don't know how to fast, and you have no information whatsoever about the rules of prayer, about the rules of fasting, and the scholar is there, the website is there. So you are muqassir, you are blameworthy because you have all these
facilities available.
You can reach these things and learn something, but you could not do anything. Mm-hmm. So you are blameworthy. You ought to be blamed for not doing anything. So, generally speaking, a blameworthy person is a person who realizes his ignorance and knows the possible methods by which he can overcome his ignorance, but deals carelessly and with learning the religious rulings. He does not try to learn those rulings.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll come back with a very interesting question right after the break. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We're still talking about the rules of taqlid based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, before the break, I asked you about mughassir, a blameworthy, ignorant person. But what about qasir, an unblameworthy, ignorant person?
Yes. Qasir, an inculpable, ignorant person, is someone who does not have access to things through which he can remove his ignorance, or he's not aware of his ignorance in the first place, and he has no way to get the rule. Like, I give you the example of people living in the North Pole, the Eskimos, who have no knowledge. They even do not know that they are ignorant. There is a religion called Islam. There is, for example, Sharia. And so they are actually inculpable in their ignorance.
Mm.
They will not be punished for not acting, for not praying, for not fasting, because they have no information. They know nothing about prayer, about fasting. Such people are called qasir. Their ignorance is inculpable, and so they are not to blame praying fasting.
Oh, all right. And, Sheikh Sawit, in many of the episodes you talked about precaution, but what about obligatory caution? What does that mean?
Obligatory caution or obligatory precaution is a precaution that is necessary to abide by, to follow. And it's not, again, I should say, it's not fatwa. It is a precaution that is that one must act upon and must comply with, because it is just a precaution that must be exercised. As long as one is acting according to the precaution in not following the, not acting according to the fatwa of another mujtahid, he should comply with it. He should follow it. And that's what obligatory precaution actually means.
Sheikh Chawit, there is another phrase which is used in these Islamic laws or books of Islamic laws, such as, for example, there is a problem in it, mentioned in some of the fatwas.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Does that mean prohibition?
Well, it differs from case to case, from one issue to another issue, and from one problem to another problem. If the problem is in permissibility, it indicates prohibition on the practical level, you know. If, for example, someone asks you whether it is let's say shaving beard is permissible or not, and then the mujtahid says there's a problem in shaving beard, so it means that it's not permissible, it is prohibited to shave shave the beard. And of course, when you're talking about permissibility and the mujtahid says it is there is problem in it, it means it's not permissible, it's prohibited.
So what's the difference between impermissible and haram? Is there any difference?
The difference is in the wording. The impermissible and prohibited are the same, you know. The mujtahid is actually free to choose to use either of these two words.
So they are synonymous.
They are kind of synonymous.
Yes.
And they convey the same thing.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. From me and the rest of the team here in the studio, we say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو